I once forgot my name. How embarrassing were my attempts. May I introduce myself to you?
Hello, this is KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. And if you want to listen to us on your computer, go to kptz.org. KPTZ is a community radio station. This is a station for the community and by the community. As part of our commitment to the community, we like to support our local nonprofits. Today's show is part of a special series called Care and Connect. This is a series that profiles some of the wonderful nonprofits that contribute so much to our community. Today's spotlight is on the Humane Society, which is trying to take care of the lost or even unwanted animals around town. Their doors are open to animals that really need help. My guest today is Paul Becker, who is one of the founders of the Jefferson County Humane Society. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you.
Let's start with a simple question, relatively simple. How did you end up in Port Townsend?
When my wife and I decided we would retire, we looked around the United States for different places that we thought would fit our lifestyle. My wife doesn't like hot weather, and I didn't want to shovel snow. And a good friend of ours had retired in Friday Harbor and said we had to come to the Northwest. It was the most beautiful part of the country. And we came out and looked at the entire northwest area around Seattle. And when we got to Port Townsend, tended to fall in love with it, as many people do. And eventually bought a lot. I retired 2 years later. We moved here and built our home and have been here almost 15 years.
So
now.
Where did you relocate from?
We were in Ankara, Turkey.
Well, that's unusual. What were you doing in Turkey?
I worked for a joint venture Turkish-American company that was building armored combat vehicles for the Turkish Army.
Now, there's a job for you. Now, you're here today because of your work with the Humane Society, so I've got to ask another background question. Have you always had animals in your home?
Yes. I've always had dogs and cats. We currently have three cats. When we came back from Turkey, we transported four cats with us, and that was a challenge.
I would think so. Well, what was your route? I mean, how many stops did the cats have to endure?
We had one overnight. We flew from Ankara to Frankfurt, spent the night in the Frankfurt Hotel, and the cats were housed in a Lufthansa kennel that was lovely. Lufthansa does a wonderful job transporting animals. We then flew from Frankfurt to Vancouver, rented a van in Vancouver, and drove to Port Townsend.
with all four cats in
tow. All four cats in tow.
Any problem at the border?
No, it was quite easy, but that was pre-9/11.
That's true. They're a little more particular, I think, these days. So when you first came to Port Townsend, did you immediately become involved with animal issues, or was there any different transition? What did you do first?
Well, we rented a home when we first came here and spent about a year and a half building our own house. So we were pretty well occupied with construction. But after we finished the house, my wife had gone to the animal shelter and wanted to volunteer. She had volunteered with a shelter in Ankara, and we had our own colony of feral cats around the building that we lived in that we arranged to have spay and neutered, simply to make sure it didn't get any larger.
Yeah, this is in Turkey you're talking about.
In Turkey, yes.
Okay, so when you first came here, she volunteered at the shelter here. Did you volunteer as well?
At that time, spent most of my time working on the house and the yard, and I'm an avid gardener, so I became involved with the WSU Master Gardener Program. Went through their training so I could better understand the growing conditions and climate on the peninsula, and also worked with the fruit club locally, again, to better understand how to grow fruit here. And I currently have a small orchard and a small vegetable garden.
Well, this summer has been great for sun.
It has.
Not so great for water, but that's a different issue. But okay, now I don't quite understand. There was a shelter here at that time, but there was not a Humane Society. Is that the setup?
That's correct. And the animal shelter was built by the county, and it was operated by the county. The transition occurred basically when the economy turned down around 2005. The Sheriff's Department took over operating the Jefferson County Animal Shelter. They had two deputies stationed there, and the county continuously was reducing the budget available to operate the shelter. So it became evident to the sheriff that at some point in time he would not have adequate funds to continue to operate the shelter as it needed to be operated.
How big was it at that point, roughly?
The animal shelter here is relatively small. We have 10 indoor-outdoor dog runs and 5 outdoor runs, and space for around 20 cats and kittens.
Okay, but I'm talking historically. You're saying in 2005 the county was having cutbacks. The sheriff felt that he couldn't really adequately support the facility, right?
That's correct.
And so what happened? Did you and other people become active? How did it occur?
Well, I was involved with the Sheriff's Department. I took the law enforcement training and became a reserve deputy sheriff, and also certified as an animal control officer and an animal cruelty investigator. So I was intimately involved with the shelter and the sheriff's department. The sheriff requested that someone develop a 501c3 that would have the ability to take donations from the public to help support the operation at the shelter. I volunteered to head up a group. Two of the other deputies, Alex Mintz and Bruce Turner, were the other two founders. We incorporated the Humane Society of Jefferson County, Washington in 2008. We worked on it through 2007, submitted the paperwork to the Internal Revenue Bureau, and got our 501c3 charitable organization certificate in early 2009.
Okay. Now, I'm a little confused about something. I, of course, have heard of the Humane Society. I had the vague idea it was a national group, but you seem to be saying that are Humane Society's individual groups, or is this one separate? How does it work?
Yes. The Humane Society of Jefferson County is a Washington State corporation. It has no affiliation with the Humane Society of the United States. The Humane Society of the United States is obviously the best-known Humane
Right.
Society. It does not have affiliation with the local operations of Humane Societies anywhere in the country. They all are independent.
Okay. Well, that's a point that the public needs to understand, because if I wrote a check to the Humane Society of the United States, it wouldn't go to Jefferson County, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So if I donate to the Humane Society of Jefferson County, it goes specifically to this shelter and these animals.
That is correct.
And if I wanted to donate, I mean, I suppose you just mail in your check?
They can certainly do that. We recommend that everyone, you know, look at our website, and our website address is www.hsjcwa.org.
And okay, you better repeat that again. The website for the Jefferson County Humane Society is?
It's hsjcwa.org, and that simply stands for the Humane Society of Jefferson County, Washington.
Okay.
And it gives a whole lot of background on the shelter, animals that we have available for adoption, lost animals, found animals, how to donate. You can donate online or you can mail a donation. It also has a lot of information relative to volunteer opportunities. Like all 501c3s, volunteers are our lifeblood. We have volunteers come in every morning, 365 days a year, to help with the cleaning of the cat cages, feeding of the animals. The dogs are all walked in the morning. We also have a group that comes in the afternoon and walks dogs in the afternoon. We have volunteers that will come in, socialize cats, work on socialization of dogs after they've been through our canine training. We also have volunteers that work on fundraising. There's no end of work that people can do.
Well, at any given time, how many volunteers would you have?
We roughly have 30 to 40 active volunteers. We have people that come and go during the year, so they may be active for a number of months, then relocate to other areas. The snowbirds, some people come in for the summers only. So we have a variety of people coming and going. We ask people when they initially volunteer to make a commitment for at least 6 months, and we ask them to commit to one shift a week, which is a two-hour period of time. And the reason we do that is we request that they go through our training, both general training on the shelter and the Humane Society, and then specific training, be it for canine or feline, so they understand how we handle our animals. Our objective there is to ensure that everyone interacts with the animals in the same way. That eliminates the stress on the animals, and it certainly improves the training, particularly with the canines.
Okay, so explain to me a little bit about the philosophy of the training.
We are strictly a reward-based organization. We don't do any punishment training. We don't use choke collars. We don't hit the animals. We don't use tugs on the leash. Our basic philosophy is reward-based.
So that means you give them a cookie if they do the right thing, right?
Well, we don't give them cookies, but we have specific treats
yes.
that's designed for each species.
I see. Well, I use cookie loosely, you know. Now, that works, I presume, pretty well with dogs. What about cats?
Cats don't go through a specific training. It's more socialization. We try and identify with animals that come in what their background may have been. Some have not been socialized as well as others, so we try and work with individuals to improve their socialization, any medical issues that they may have had. We have a number of veterinarians in the community that are kind enough to work with us and make sure that all of the animals are well cared for.
We should mention the vets who are so generous. Which vets are you working with?
Primarily, we work with Padlock Veterinary Clinic, the Oak Bay Animal Hospital, and Chimicum Veterinarians. All three have been working with the shelter for many, many years, and we're certainly thankful for their help and assistance.
Excellent, excellent. How many animals would you have at the shelter roughly at any given time?
The number varies tremendously. Mm-hmm. We, on an average, will take in around 700 animals a year.
Wow.
For a number of reasons. Some are the guys that got lost, and they're brought in either by law enforcement or by other citizens. So we work very hard to get them reunited with their owners. We have a number of animals that are brought in that are unwanted for multiple reasons. Downturn in the economy was tragic when a number of people lost their homes, had to relocate, and were unable to take their animals with them.
You also must occasionally have the unfortunate situation where an animal is abused.
We do. They eventually will be brought in by law enforcement. Some are brought in by individuals that just want to get rid of them. It's difficult to tell at times when an animal is abused and the type of abuse.
Yeah, because they can't tell you about it.
No, but they can show us. And we have a behavioralist that comes in as a volunteer and assists us in analyzing the behavior of animals to try and develop a program then to give them the support and training that they need to become adoptable and good pets.
Wow. Can you use a specific example of how the behavioralist has helped in the past?
When we have animals that have not been well socialized, we can take a look at their behavior, you know, whether they're food guarders, whether they show any type of aggression, whether they just cower in a corner. Takes observation and an experienced individual, you know, then to determine what we assume they encountered in past lives and come up with a program to remedy those situations. We've had volunteers that will sit outside of dogs' cages, never look at the dog, read a book out loud just to get the animal accustomed to the human voice. We'll have some animals where we'll just walk by the kennels and throw treats in, again, without looking at the animal, because that could be threatening. And eventually they become more aware of people. They feel people aren't a threat. Will eventually come out when they eat out of your hand and you're able to put a leash on them and take them for a walk. Everyone in the shelter feels it's just a wonderful victory. And when they finally get adopted, it's like having a party.
Yeah. Well, what are the steps if I wanted to adopt a dog or a cat?
We have posters posted in many locations around Port Townsend and in the county showing the adoptable animals.
Right.
We list all of our adoptable animals on petfinder.com, as do most shelters in the United States. People that see an animal that they may be interested in, or if they just come to the shelter to take a look, we are open from noon until 5 every day of the week but Monday. We are closed on Monday. So Tuesday through Sunday, people can come to the shelter, look through the cat rooms, look through the kennels, just to see who's there and if there's someone that may strike their interest.
So how much does it cost to adopt an animal from the Humane Society?
The prices vary on dogs, depending upon the age and the type, generally from $100 up. We charge $100 for kittens and $85 for adult cats. Senior cats, we have a reduced price if they're older and more difficult to adopt. For that fee, the animals are all spay and neutered. No animal leaves the shelter that isn't spay or neutered. They have their basic vaccinations. They have been dewormed, defleed, have been medically checked. To the best of our knowledge, they are healthy. The one thing we do not give at the shelter is rabies shots, which is required in Washington State for all dogs, cats, and ferrets. Animal shelters are exempt from the state law, and we chose not to have the rabies shots given at the shelter, but rather wait until the animal is adopted. Our three participating veterinarians offer a free wellness visit with every adoption. We recommend that the adopter take the animal to one of the three veterinarians for the wellness visit and at that time get their rabies shots.
I didn't realize it was state law that your animals had to have rabies shots.
It's relatively new in Washington. The statute was passed about 3 years ago. Generally, it was by county regulation.
What about licensing? Do dogs and cats both have to be licensed in Washington?
Again, licensing is by county, and in Jefferson County, it is required by both the county and the city that all dogs over the age of 6 months be licensed. Cats are not required to be licensed in either the county or the city, but they can be if an individual wants their cat to be licensed. They can come to the shelter and obtain a license. The license fees are quite modest in this county. For an altered dog, the license fee is $20 for a 2-year license.
That's certainly very reasonable. Now, I have a question, which is about the chips they put in on animals. If I had a dog and he had a chip in him and he got lost, it gets taken to you. Do you have a way? How does that work? Do you read the chips?
Yes, microchips are certainly recommended for everyone's pets. It's the only way to positively identify the animal is yours. We have a microchip reader that every animal that comes into the shelter is scanned for a microchip. If it's a lost animal, then we can immediately contact the microchip company, and there are a number, and we can tell from the microchip reading which company issued the microchip, very quickly obtain the owner's name and address, contact them so we can get their dog returned to them.
Well, that's good to know, because I have an indoor cat, but I did have a chip put in her just on the off chance. You know, you never can tell, right?
That's correct. We microchip all of the animals at the shelter, so we have a good record of the animals that we adopt.
That's good to know. I just sort of wondered whether it was a worthwhile thing to do, and you're telling me it is.
Oh, absolutely. We had one case of a dog that was picked up by the authorities, brought to the shelter. We scanned the chip and found out that the animal had been stolen almost 5 years before. The owner was outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. We contacted the owner, told them that we had recovered his dog. He was so excited, he sent us a check to pay to fly the dog back to him that week.
Wow, that's amazing. Was it a purebred dog, or...
It appeared to be a purebred lab.
Puzzles me why people would steal an animal, but I suppose there are all sorts out there.
Well, animals certainly can be resold, and that's one reason that people will steal them. Sometimes an animal will get loose. People pick them up along the side of the road, think it's a nice animal, and just choose to keep it as a pet. They forget that in Washington State, pets are legally property. So keeping an animal that you find is basically theft.
If I found an animal, what would be the best thing to do? Bring it to you directly? Bring it to the Humane Society? Or
you certainly can. We will take in any animal from the county. If it's a stray, we hope it will have a county or city license tag on it, which allows us to identify the owners. Again, if it's microchipped, we scan for a chip.
Okay. Yeah, because occasionally I've seen posters saying found dog, you know, and they'll have a picture of an animal.
We request that anyone that loses or finds an animal certainly contact the shelter. We keep a listing of all lost pets that people report. So if someone calls in or the animal is brought in, it makes it easy for us to go through our listing of lost dogs and lost cats to hopefully get the animal returned to their owner.
Back to their owner. All right. Well, Paul, you know, we're getting pretty tight on time here, but I did want to talk a little bit about the challenges facing the Humane Society today. I mean, we've already talked about the fact that the Jefferson County Humane Society is an independent organization. It's a 501(c)(3). So it's a nonprofit organization. It's run by volunteers, donations. But what are the challenges facing the Humane Society?
The challenge of all 501(c)(3)s is funding and volunteers. We receive funding through the operation of the shelter. We have agreements with both the county and the city that the shelter is their agent for issuing dog licenses. So all of the license revenue that comes into the shelter remains with the Humane Society to help offset the costs. Any fees, boarding, other fees that may come into the shelter, again, by our agreement with the county, we are able to keep, again, to help offset the costs. The total revenue coming into the shelter is less than half of the cost of operating it. The balance has to come from donations from the public. So we are always hopeful that people will donate to the Humane Society. We are also dependent upon volunteers to do a lot of our work. Although we have paid staff members, the volunteers make up a significant portion of the time and care that goes into each one of our animals.
Okay, and do you have any specific fund drives throughout the year, or is it a year-round thing?
Our primary funding has been through our newsletters. There are so many 501c3s in the area, it's difficult to come up with something new and different from a fundraising drive. So we have not been able to come up with something that would really be unique to us. Fortunately, we've been able to keep our head above water by donations from people coming to the shelter. Also, when they mail in their dog license renewals, they've added donations and responses to our newsletters that are mailed out.
Okay. And you showed me one of the newsletters. How does someone get on the list if they want to receive the newsletter?
They can come to the animal shelter and sign up. We also have a sign up for an electronic newsletter that we put out.
Right.
We are very active on Facebook and Twitter as well. So if people stop by the shelter and let us know that you would like to be a friend of the shelter or get our electronic newsletters, we can put you on our list.
Now, you know, not everyone listening to this show knows exactly where the shelter is. Where is it?
The animal shelter is located right next to the recycling center. The physical address is 112 Critter Lane. As you go into the recycle center, the first road to the left, there's a sign that says Animal Shelter. We don't receive mail there, however. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 850, Port Hadlock, Washington, 98339.
Okay, folks, you heard that. The mailing address for the Humane Society, if you wanted to write a check today, I'm sure they'd be delighted to receive it.
So it was
Humane Society of Jefferson County, P.O. Box
850.
And that was Port Hadlock.
Port Hadlock, Washington.
What's the zip there?
98339.
Okay. All right. Well, you have been listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM on your radio dial, or perhaps you're listening online, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis. I have been talking today with Paul Decker, who is one of the founders of the Humane Society. And this show is a part of a special series we're calling Care and Connect, where we're highlighting some of the nonprofits around town that do such a wonderful job. The Humane Society, of course, is really an important part of this county. And in closing, Paul, I don't know, even know how to express this. Do you have any overall motto or what? How does the place work?
In closing, I would make a few recommendations. One, for all pet owners, please spay and neuter your pets. Animal shelter overpopulation is caused by overbreeding, so we want to minimize that countrywide. Second, if you own a dog, please get it licensed. It's your dog's ticket home should he get lost. The funding goes to help keep the animal shelter open for any animal that needs assistance when they come to us.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to Paul Decker from the Jefferson County Humane Society. If you missed part of this show or you want to listen to it again or tell your friends about it, it will be up as a podcast on our website for a couple of weeks. So just go to kptz.org. On the homepage, look down the left side for podcasts, and you will be able to find the show. Meanwhile, keep your radio tuned to 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, for more dynamite, eclectic, local programming.
The engineer and editor of this program is our production coordinator, Mike Schlexer.
I don't know what I would do without you.